Welcome to the Home Study Course sponsored by the Healthcare Training Institute. Our primary intent for this Home Study Course is to provide quality education to foster professional growth. The Institute has provided quality education since 1979 to thousands of mental health professionals nationally and in Canada as well. My name is Catherine Appleton, and I will be the narrator of this tape. We appreciate the fact that you have chosen us as a vehicle for you to earn your continuing education credit for purposes of relicensure. This course was compiled with the assistance of social workers, marriage and family therapists, mental health counselors, and psychologists. We will discuss ethically treating PTSD resulting from terrorism and other traumas. As you will note, excerpts from the Code of Ethics for Social Work, Marriage and Family Therapy, Psychology and Counseling is listed in your manual. Terrorism, by definition, is an act that seeks to influence a population significantly larger than the immediate target. Thus, the quality of the public's understanding and its response to terrorism of all varieties is highly significant. Ultimately, it is public opinion that will help shape the political environment within which government officials must act. As you are well aware, there is a dearth of articles, books, seminars, and the like on post-traumatic stress disorder, commonly referred to as PTSD. The purpose of this home study course is to talk specifically about PTSD resulting from terrorism and similar traumas. It is, of course, hoped that in the future there would be no acts of terrorism. However, as we face the realities of our oftentimes violent society, the violence of terrorist acts has become more and more of a reality. As you know, a primary ethical mission of the mental health professional is to enhance well-being and to help meet the basic needs of all people, with particular attention to the needs and empowerment of people who are vulnerable, oppressed, and living in poverty. We have found in treating clients that are either direct victims of terrorism or suffering from secondary traumatic stress disorder, STSD, a question of ethical approaches has become an increasing concern for professionals. For example, you may have a client who does not sympathize with the terrorist actions, but sympathizes with their anti-American policy beliefs, or sympathizes with their religious convictions. Ask yourself, at what point are you, as a therapist, bordering on unethical behavior by perhaps even subtly imposing your values and beliefs upon your client? Only you can answer this question. Thus, another purpose of this course is to provide you with perhaps some new perspectives to increase your self-awareness about victims of terrorism regarding such ethical principles as respect for client self-determination and autonomy, respect for the individual's inherent worth and dignity, acceptance, individualization of the client as a unique person, non-judgmental attitude, tolerance for deviance that does not harm others, rationality and objectivity, empathy, and impartiality among individuals and groups. On this tape, we'll talk about victims of terrorism experiencing losses of their feelings of invulnerability, their feelings of loss related to the loss of an orderly world, loss of a positive self-image, and loss of trust. I think at the time of September 11th, as a nation, we suffered a loss of our positive self-image for many of us. We also will discuss the role that prior experience and training make in a predisposition to PTSD. The psychodynamics of hostage victims will include pathological transference and psychological infantilism. The importance of ventilating feelings and realistic guilt will also be discussed, along with the psychopathology of being held hostage. PTSD filtering and other ethical issues will also be explored. To further explain PTSD resulting from terrorism and other traumas, First, let us look at victims of terrorism and factors that determine the stress of the experience on them. Walter Ross' ideas underline the ethical need for individualization of the client as a unique person. After a terrorist siege has ended, physicians may describe the bodily damage in terms of physical injuries, but as you know, in addition to any direct injuries, each participant in a terrorist incident has been exposed to a situation in which many subtle changes may have taken place in response to the stressor. Number one, loss of their feeling of invulnerability. Number two, loss of an orderly world. Number three, loss of a positive self-image, and number four, loss of trust. As I am outlining these ideas, you might think about how they apply to clients you treated immediately following the September 11th Twin Towers attack. Number one, let's look at loss of invulnerability. A client whom a colleague of mine treated had an uncle shot in a local mosque immediately following the September 11th attack. The client stated, "This couldn't happen to me. This couldn't happen to my uncle," she thought. Her next thoughts were, "But it did happen to me, and it did happen to my uncle. Therefore, I no longer feel I am in a safe world, and that the world is a safe place." She stated, "I feel less safe than I did before the shooting. Even when others assure me that it can't happen again, I know that it could, and I fear that it would." As you know, these feelings of vulnerability indicate two symptoms of PTSD or post-traumatic stress disorder. Number one, a sense of doom or an expectation of a foreshortened future. And number two, an intense fear that trauma will repeat itself. Thus, the ethical need for individualization to the client as a unique person is called for here, especially related to the client's use of psychological defense mechanisms. In the case of the hijacked planes that crashed, the passengers were, of course, taken hostage. So let's look at hostage psychology for a minute. In the case of a hostage, the hostage's first response, according to Roth, might be, "I don't believe this," or "This can't be happening." Loss of invulnerability is initiated. The individual unconsciously and automatically refuses to comprehend the situation. For brief periods, denial helps. It permits time to lapse and perhaps the individual from physical collapse. Panic reactions are forestalled or made less likely. The temporary effects of denial give the victim an opportunity to gradually assess the situation and perhaps formulate coping strategies. The individual who utilizes this counterphobic mechanism reduces stress and anxiety, which may cause excessive and sometimes rash responses that actually oppose his or her basic inclination for safety in a threatening situation. Now, a simple example would be, for example, in the case of a man with a fear of heights who insists on peering over the edge of a cliff. Counterphobic psychological defenses may serve the individual well in some stress situations, but in violent circumstances, such as a hijacking incident, counterphobic behavior in these situations is sometimes termed bravery. But as you know, this bravery can increase the chances that the victim will be injured or killed. Closely related to the counterphobic mechanisms are those that are usually described as reaction formation and identification with the aggressor. However, these usually occur over long periods of time and thus evolve in the later phases of a hostage situation. Reaction formation may be described as an adaptive process in which an individual adopts attitudes and behaviors that are in fact opposite to the impulse he harbors, either consciously or unconsciously. For example, fear of the terrorist is transformed into approval or admiration. In a situation where one person is victimized by another, this process may extend to identification with the aggressor. When observed in the victims of terrorism, the process may be described in different terms, such as identification with the captor or identification with the controller. The victim unconsciously incorporates the characteristics of the feared person and becomes psychologically allied with him. Thus the victim transforms him or herself from the person threatened into the person who makes the threats. Thus the victim reduces his or her anxiety. Now ask yourself this question. Should the victim seek therapy? An ethical issue may arise if the therapist finds him or herself being judgmental regarding the victim's attitude of identification with their captor. Are you ready for question number one? Each question will be followed by a musical tone, which signals you to turn the tape player off and answer the question in your answer booklet. If you keep the play button on your tape player depressed while depressing the rewind button, with most players, you will still hear sound. Thus, should you wish to replay a segment, you need to merely push play, push rewind, and listen for the musical tones, which signal the beginning of the section you just listened to. Question number one. What behaviors are closely related to the counterphobic mechanisms?